Look, if you would, beginning at verse 3. Paul says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Now, keep in mind that these words of Paul were written originally to a congregation of believers. He writes two letters to the believers there at Thessalonica. And the believers there at this church were all new converts. That's the reason why, you know, some books in the Bible are better for new converts than other books in the Bible. You know, I would not recommend like Revelation for a new convert. I would not recommend Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy, something like that. John would be a good one. I would recommend John. First Thessalonians would be good because Paul was writing to new believers here. There are a lot of good books for new believers, and certainly Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians are two of them. But Paul here, he's writing to these new converts, and he's writing to them, and while in the course of his writing, he lays before them a lot of great teachings, especially for younger Christians. And in this chapter, it becomes very apparent by the repetition of certain words that Paul wants these Christians to grow and develop and mature in their faith. If you would, look at the end of verse 2. It says, to comfort you concerning your faith. Verse 5, I sent to know your faith. In verse 6, Timothy brought us good tidings of your faith. Verse 7, we were comforted over you all in our affliction and distress by your faith. Verse 10, that we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Over and over and over you see those words, your faith, your faith, your faith. He's concerned about their faith. In other words, they're saved, but he wants them to grow in faith. That's what every Christian should be striving to do, is to grow spiritually. Our faith should be getting stronger and stronger. And so even reading this passage here, five times in the first 10 verses, he talks about your faith. And so he wants them to grow and develop. Now, last week we explored what this chapter has to say about how to build your faith. And I gave you the definition last week that Paul means when he's talking about your faith. There is a difference. When you read in the Bible, in the New Testament, it talks about your faith and then there's the faith. Okay? Now, the context of that is a little bit different. When it talks about, even though our faith is in the same thing, there's a difference between the faith and your faith. I'll give you an example. In Jude 3, we're told, earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Okay, that's the faith that was delivered to the saints. That's talking about a system of Christian doctrine which is found in the Word of God, that's the faith. In other words, the Lord has given everybody the measure of faith. And so that's the basic fundamentals, the doctrine of the faith. That's when we're talking about the faith. That's what we're to contend for, is the faith. But when it comes to your faith and my faith specifically, he's kind of talking about something different. He's talking about a working principle whereby you trust and obey God regardless of the circumstances. In other words, remember when Jesus was on the ship and all of a sudden the storm came up and the disciples thought they were going to die. And so they go and wake up Jesus, and Jesus says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Okay, he was talking about their faith. He was not talking about the faith. He was talking about their faith being little. All of us have been at times in our life where our faith just wasn't very strong. Amen? I mean, I think everybody in here can think of probably right off the bat two or three times just in the past few months that your faith has not been strong. Maybe it was a financial problem. Maybe it was a sickness. Maybe it was a loved one going through something and you had no control over it or whatever it may be. And what happened was your faith faltered. That's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about their faith, and he wants them to build up their faith. And so that when he's talking about that's what he's talking about. So that way they can walk by faith. Remember, the Bible says we are to walk by faith, not by sight. And so God wants us to grow in our faith, and our faith needs to be strong. Now, Paul here is concerned about these young Christians, and they're developing faith and growing in faith. So to that end, we learned last week that he sent this young preacher, Timothy, to basically check up and see how their faith was going. If you look there in verse 2, it says, "And sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." In other words, they were just saved, and so Paul sends Timothy there to the church of Thessalonica to establish them in the faith. In other words, to ground them. You know, that's one of the things I think that a lot of Christians fail to do, a lot of churches fail to do, is when somebody gets saved, that the really, you know, when we think about the Great Commission, you know, that Great Commission is not just to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. And the second part of that Great Commission is to teach them about what Jesus Christ said. In other words, when a person gets saved, we are to disciple them. We are to teach them the basics of the faith. We are to, you know, teach them the basic doctrines, you know, virgin birth and why that's so important. We're to teach them eternal security and why that's so important. We're to teach them, that they should be baptized, you know, after they're saved. That's important. Church membership, that's important. We're to teach them these things, the basic doctrines of the Bible. We're to teach them that. That way, they're established. In other words, now that they're saved and they understand the basic doctrines, then they can build upon those basic doctrines. Now, here's the problem that we have. Yes, the church is here to edify saints, and so people can come in and we can teach them the basic doctrines, and then as they start to get established in the faith like they did there, then they can go out and they can win other people to the Lord and bring them in, so then we can get them established in the faith, and that's how it's supposed to work, okay? That's what the local church is here for, okay? A lot of people have the wrong idea when it comes to the local church and what the purpose of the local church is. The biblical purpose of a local church is to edify the saints. In other words, to build them up in faith, disciple them, to teach them the word of God, and then as they grow in faith, then they go out and they win other people to the Lord, bring them in, and that's how the early church did it. That's how we're supposed to be doing. Now, I will say this. A lot of Christians today think that only the pastor can get to the point or can disciple another believer. Anybody in here should be able to disciple somebody. And that's reason, like I said last week, I'm not trying to be hard on anybody here, okay? But if you've been saved for a while, and you can't teach somebody else about the importance of the virgin birth, there's something wrong with that. Do you agree with that? If you've been saved for a while, and you can't give somebody a couple scriptures on eternal security. I mean, think about this. What happens if a new believer comes up to you and says, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've done some things. I just don't know if I'm still saved. And you say, well, did you receive Jesus Christ? Yes, but I just don't know if I'm still saved. What are you going to say? Are you just going to leave that person hanging? You should be able to give them a couple of verses to show them at least a little bit about eternal security, right? If you've been saved for a while. Now listen, if you haven't been saved for very long, then, you know, maybe you haven't been taught. But if you've been saved for a while, you should be able to at least give them a couple of verses on the basic doctrine, the basic, you know, primary doctrines that we share as Baptists. Amen? You should be able to do that. But the sad part of it is a lot of Christians today don't and are not able to do that, and really they don't care. But yet then they'll be the first ones to raise a stink when they see some young Christian out here living like the world. Hey, listen, you can't have it both ways. If you're not helping to disciple these people, if you aren't able to, you know, to at least get them established or help get them established, it's more than just bringing them to church. Hey, listen, you bring them to church and we can have them sit in here and I can teach them the basics. But you should be able to do that too. If we had a young adults class in here, and all you had to do is just teach them the basic doctrines, most of everybody in here should be able to do that. I'm not saying that I'm not trying to volunteer you or anything. I'm just saying that you should be able to do that. Amen? What happens if your kids come up and ask you about those things? What happens when your friend's kids come up and ask you about those things? What happens after a person gets saved and really you're the only one they'll talk to because they haven't been saved for very long and they come up and ask you about those things? What are you going to say? As Christians, we need to know these things. Now, when I first got here, this church, one of the first things we taught on is why we believe what we believe. And we had a whole series, and it was just the basic doctrines. You know, if you just took notes, I mean, any of those things. And so, like, and here's another thing too. I do cheat. Now, I'm not saying cheat like you think of cheat, but here's what I'm saying. Whenever you get a scripture that talks about eternal security, you got these white pages in your Bible. Write those scriptures down and write down eternal security and write those scriptures down. Virgin birth, write those scriptures down. And then when somebody asks you, just go, look here. And there it is. Amen? We make it easy on yourself. I mean, I'm not asking you to memorize the whole Bible here, but we should have something written down on those things. And so we should help establish Christians. That's what Timothy was sent there for, was to establish them. And then if you'll notice, if you look down at verse 6, Timothy came back, or Timothy reported back to Paul some good news. After he went there, in verse 6 it says, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. So in other words, he sent him down there to establish some faith, and when he came back, he says, you know what? Those people are growing. Those people are growing in the faith. Their faith is getting stronger. Remember this, during that time, the church was being persecuted. So people's faith, I mean, you know, those people, a lot of those young Christians had to learn quick. Amen? And so their faith was being built up. And not only that, but their charity was also being built up as well. And that's love between two believers. And so, or between believers. And so they were growing in faith and they were growing in charity. And Paul was happy about that. Now, so that's talking about building your faith. And certainly they did build their faith there in Thessalonica. Paul was happy about it after a report came back from Timothy. Now, tonight I want us to look at verses 3, 4, and 5, because in these verses, Paul then starts to talk not only about them growing in faith, but he starts to talk about some things that can hinder or harm our faith. And he reveals basically just two basic problems that, you know, and yes, it could be more complex than this, but I mean just two basic problems that every Christian, I guarantee you, every Christian's facing these problems tonight. And it's things that will harm your faith if you're not careful. So we need to protect our faith. In other words, we want to keep on growing, and we want to, you know, we want to get established. We want our faith established. Then we want to keep on growing and growing and growing and growing. But how many of you agree that the devil doesn't want that? Amen? He doesn't want that. And to tell you the truth, your flesh doesn't want it either. But yet our faith is supposed to grow. So there are two basic problems that we need to protect our faith from. One of the two problems that we need to protect our faith from is the trials which come from suffering. The trials that come from suffering. Now, certainly, Paul makes it very clear in verses 3 and 4 that problems come, sufferings come, difficulties come, and these things can be a hindrance to your faith. He uses a particular word in verse 3. Look what he says. He says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. In other words, we are to remain unmovable. We are to remain steadfast. Even though afflictions come, we are to be like the tree planted by the water. We are to be, you know, we're gonna remain strong during this thing. Now, listen, it's tough to do that, isn't it? When the real afflictions come, it's tough to remain strong. But that's what he says. It says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Now look at verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we would suffer tribulation. So he's saying the afflictions are coming, tribulation is coming. We told you this. We told you it would happen, but you're not to be moved by it. Okay? And he's talking about the things that they experience on a daily basis. You know, there are problems, there are circumstances, there are pressures that are hard to handle many times. And many of us probably have even went through this today. Many of you today could be sitting here right now thinking about some of the things that happened today to you. Certain pressures, certain circumstances, pressures of life. People are under tremendous pressure today on their jobs. Not only that, but there's home pressures that we face. Things don't always go great at home. Amen? And so there are all kinds of things here. And if we're not careful, those things can hinder our faith, especially the faith of younger Christians, baby Christians, Christians who haven't been saved very long. You know, a baby Christian is just beginning to grow, and many baby Christians have the idea that now that they're saved, things are going to start running smoother in their life. Well, that, listen, folks. In fact, the Lord never said that. In fact, he said just the opposite. He says if you live godly lives, you're going to suffer persecution. That's on top of the stuff that you were already going through before you got saved. That's still going to keep on going. Amen. But here's the thing. We're not promised at all that persecutions won't come. In fact, we're told persecutions will come. We're not told that bad times won't happen. We're not told that tribulations and persecutions and, you know, pressures and bad times. We're told all those things are going to happen. It's life. It's because of sin. One of these days, those things are going to be done away with. Amen. Do you realize that one of these days, you can honestly say, there's no such thing as a bad time or a bad day for me, but not on this side of eternity. Amen. I mean, there'll be no more bad times. There'll be no more circumstances. There'll be no more, persecutions, tribulations. You won't be able to say, think of this, for eternity, you'll never be able to say, I had a bad day today. You'll never be able to say that, amen? But while you're on this side of eternity, because of sin, because our bodies are breaking down, because everybody has flesh, because there are unsaved people in the world, because of all these different things, there are going to be bad times. They're going to be those times when we suffer afflictions. But Paul says we're not to be moved by these afflictions. He's saying that when you see afflictions and trials and tribulations come, don't let it unsettle you. Don't let it disturb your faith. And then Paul says something really interesting in verse 3. Look at it. He said that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Now think about what he just said. He says, you should be moved by these afflictions because we've been appointed to those afflictions. In other words, they're supposed to happen. It's supposed to happen to people. And he's saying that these afflictions which come and the suffering and everything that comes with them are part of the plan. It's part of God's maturity process to help your faith be what it ought to be so that you'll trust God and do His will regardless of the circumstances. So the trials which come from suffering are not accidents. How many of you know that there are no accidents? There's no such thing as accidents, okay? They're appointments. They're not happenstance, they're providence. And God made that clear even when Paul was saved. The Lord said this in Acts 9:16, when he was talking about Paul. After he got saved, he said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. It was appointed to Paul to suffer. He's saying that suffering was part of the plan for Paul. Not only that, but the Lord indicated the same thing in John 16:13 when he said this to his disciples. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. He said, it's coming. It's a part of life. And so we suffer these things. It's a part of the Christian life. It's a part of the plan. You say, what's the plan? It's God testing your faith. Do you realize if everything, one of these days when we have our perfect bodies, when we have no more bad days, we won't have to worry about growing in faith at that point. Amen? When we have our new bodies and we're with the Lord reigning for 1,000 years, we don't have to, at that point, we won't have to say, I need to have my faith grow a little bit. No, you'll be perfect at that time. Amen? You won't have to worry about that. Anybody perfect yet? Okay, so that means everybody in here, your faith can grow a little bit, right? Can your faith grow if everything's going good? No. You know, it's got to be worked out. It's got to be exercised. You've got to be able to see God take care of things so that you'll trust Him more to take care of the things in front of you. Amen?
That's right.
And so you've got to see this thing happen. We have to face bad times because that's the only way our faith is going to grow. Listen, how can you see God do a great work in your life if everything is already perfect? Amen? You've got to go through some things and then say, Lord, I'm trusting you to take care of this thing. And all of a sudden you see Him just take the wheel and just take care of everything. And then all of a sudden you're like, amen, He answered my prayers and things went great. And then all of a sudden the next problem comes, you go over here, you're going to think back and say, you know what? The Lord took care of me there. I'm going to pray He takes care of me here. And your faith grows. I'll give you an example. And I know this is, if you think about it, it's kind of weak. But I do notice that, those disciples, Would you agree that they probably saw more than one storm in their life? They were, I mean, three of them were fishermen. Amen? I don't ever read about them ever being in a storm again and worrying too much about it. I wonder why. I wonder if that's because that when they had Jesus on board the ship, and by the way, they knew he was the Son of God at the time. They did. And so all of a sudden he comes up and he hushes the storm and everything is still. Would you agree that probably built their faith up a little bit? For the next time that, you know, maybe they're out there and they're on the sea and all of a sudden the storm comes up later on and all of a sudden they see some lightning. I could just imagine the disciples saying, all we had to do is call upon the Lord. He'll take care of it. Amen? Their faith built up. Every time that you go through something and you cry unto the Lord and he gets you through it, he gets the glory and your faith grows. Amen. That's how it works. Amen. And so that's the reason why you have Paul sitting in a Philippian jail singing hymns. Amen? Why? He knew it was part of the plan. He knew the Lord was going to get him through it. Would you say his faith grew up? Remember when he was over there and you read the book of Acts and he was talking about, well, I was whipped this many times and I was stoned over here by these people and I was in shipwreck and all these things happened. Would you agree there towards the end that his faith was pretty strong? What? Look at all the things that happened, all the things that God got him through. Our faith has to be tested, folks. And so we need, listen, whenever bad times happen, rather than getting all down in the mouth about it and saying, oh, it always happened to me. Why me, Lord, and all these things? You need to remember that everything has a purpose. And God's purpose for allowing things to happen to us as Christians, he's not up there saying, boy, I can't wait to see how Bob handles this. And boy, he's going to fall flat on his face. He don't stand a chance. That's not God at all. God is our Heavenly Father. He loves us. Amen. He wants us to grow. Listen, the stronger your faith is, the easier you're going to be able to handle this life. Amen?
Amen.
God wants you to be able to handle this life easier. So what's he going to do? He wants to build your faith up. If he allowed you to just never ever to face anything bad, the least little thing to come up, you'd think it'd be the worst thing in the world. Amen? That's called being a baby Christian. How many of you as parents know that the things that our children at young ages thought were such a big deal really weren't that big of a deal? Amen? I mean, think about it. My toy broke. And you're like, okay, compared to the motor blowing up in my car? Amen? I mean, what they think is major really isn't major at all. If we didn't go through some things, I mean, think about this. As you grew up physically, even as now, we look back and if all of a sudden Larry came up and goes, Pastor, my toy broke yesterday, I would say, man, you need to grow up or something, amen? Still a baby. Why? Because we've grown, we're older now, and we understand that the things back in those days really were, I mean, it was major to us then, but they really aren't major to us as we mature. It's the same way when it comes spiritual.
Yep.
When you were a baby Christian, the least little thing would get you upset. The least little thing would shake your faith. The least little thing would get you all, But as you grow, pretty soon you're like, Lord, take care of that. Not a problem. I've seen the Lord take care of that 100 times. I'll just pray for that. You see how it works? That's the reason. Listen, bad times are going to come. Circumstances are going to come. Pressures on the job is going to come. You know, pressures at home is going to come. All those things are going to come, but God allows it for a reason, and that's to build your faith. But if you're not careful, if you're not real careful, you'll let those circumstances damage your faith. You'll let those circumstances stop you from growing. Listen, I know some Christians today that let circumstances like that stop them from coming to church. They'll say, yeah, I tried that Christian, I tried being a Christian, didn't work out for me. Things just never got any better for me. And what do? They get out of church. I would say that those circumstances damaged their faith some. We got to remain steadfast, unmovable when those things come. And so God's working on us. He's building us up. He's making us stronger in the faith. And that's the reason he allows things like that to happen. That's one problem we need to watch out for. when we're protecting our faith is we need to understand that we're going to go through some circumstances, but it's all part of God's plan. And then the second thing that we need to watch out for, some that can hinder our faith from growing and developing, is really seen in verse 5. And that is the temptations which come from Satan. The temptations that come from Satan. In verse 5, look what he says. He says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." Now, when it talks about the tempter here, it is clear in your scripture who that tempter is, and that tempter is the devil. This is the way he's referred to when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. The Bible says the devil came and tempted Jesus. Now, in the book of James, the Bible makes it very clear that God never tempts us in terms of soliciting us to do evil, okay? In those terms, God never tempts us as far as soliciting us to do evil. Here's what James 1:13 says. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." And so he can't be tempted to do evil, and he doesn't tempt us to do evil. Okay? It's not like he puts things in front of us, you ever see those sometimes they do dog races, they'll have the bone in front of the dog, and the dog's trying to chase after the bone until and that's how you get them to go faster, so I've heard. Okay? But it's not like he's trying to do that. It isn't like he's throwing out the lure of evil and reeling it in and see if he can get us. That's not what God's doing. He doesn't tempt any man. Well, if it isn't God tempting us, then who is it? I would say probably the tempter. Amen? That's the devil. The Satan, he's the tempter. And he tries to tempt you and to get you to do evil. Now, listen. Nobody in this room could ever say that the devil made you do anything. Now, that's an old saying, the devil made me do it. That's kind of like saying, let God be your co-pilot. It sounds all spiritual and everything, but there ain't nothing spiritual about it. I don't want God to be my co-pilot. I want him to drive the whole thing. Right. Amen? And listen, a person today says, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. The devil never made Eve eat that fruit. As far as I can read that Bible, I don't even see that the devil even touched it. But she did. He was sitting there, yap, 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 yap. But he never made her do it. She did it of her own account. She did it of her own will. She did it. Every sin you've ever committed, you know who chose to do it? You did. Ain't nobody made you do any of those things. I mean, listen, if somebody can make you sin, then you wouldn't be guilty if you stood before the Lord at judgment day. But every single sin you've ever committed, now I'm talking about if you're saved, I know that your sins are already paid for. I know that if you're Christians. But every sin you've ever committed, you did on your own. You made the choice to do it. Everyone. And you know what? Every person today is not saved. They made the choice to reject Jesus Christ. That's right. Why? Because of sin. The Holy Spirit's been sent to reprove the world. Sin, righteous, and judgment. Person goes to hell today, he can't say, well, I didn't deserve it. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Every sin he committed, he chose to do that. He chose to reject Jesus Christ. No man will have an excuse, according to Romans chapter 1. Nobody will have an excuse. But the devil does tempt us. And the devil's temptations can hinder your faith. It can cause you not to grow in your faith. Not necessarily the temptations themselves, but you've given in to them. A Christian today who used to be a drunk, all of a sudden he starts hanging around the bars and the devil starts tempting him to drink alcohol, he can turn right back into a drunk and be just like he was before he got saved. Now he's saved, he's going to heaven, but he's still a drunkard. Amen? Why? The devil can tempt us, folks. And would you say if you give in to a temptation like that it could probably slow your faith down some? Amen? I mean, I'll tell you this. I can prove to you today that the temptation of the devil and bad circumstances, the two things that Paul talks about here that'll hurt your faith, I could prove to you that it can hurt anybody's faith. You say, how's that? How many of you know somebody today who's saved is not in church? How many of you know somebody who's saved today, they've been saved for years and still doesn't even know the stories about, you know, story in the Bible. Hadn't even read their Bible through yet. Been saved for years and years and years and years, and they hadn't even read their Bible. In fact, they very rarely read it. Well, who do you think is tempting them to do something else? Listen, I'm not against TV. TV itself is not wicked. The things it's on, it can be. Okay? But how many of you understand that the devil can tempt you on that TV or on your computer or anything else? He can tempt you. And may I tell you that if you fall for that temptation, he can get you not living for the Lord. He can get you off track, no longer serving the Lord, and you ain't growing at all. He can get you sidelined. He can get you shipwrecked, as the Bible calls it. He can get you that way. He's not the one that got you in that place. You are, but it was his temptation that started it. Amen?
Amen.
What I'm trying to say is this. The devil wants nothing more than for your faith to stop growing. That's what he wants. Why? Because a mature Christian can do some things for the Lord. A mature Christian is out there discipling other people, helping other Christians to grow. A mature Christian, is a person who's grown, is out there winning people to the lost. He's serving the Lord. He's doing these things. The devil doesn't want you to grow in your faith. Listen, the devil knows he can't have your soul because the moment you were saved, you became the Lord's. Once you're the Lord's, he can't get them back. Amen? So we belong to the Lord. He knows that. But he also knows that even though he can't get your soul, he can sure get your testimony. Now, he ain't going to take your testimony, but he's going to whisper in your ear. Nobody will see you do that. You can just do it once. I mean, you're with friends, and they ain't going to say anything. Hey, are you a Christian? That's what the devil will say. Now, if you say yes, they're not going to have anything to do with you anymore. Mm-hmm. Hey, well, look over there. There's somebody at church. Stand there in Walmart, and they look at you. What are you going to do? Well, the devil's saying, you know what? Man, if you start talking to them, they'll now shut up. You know what happens? And you, rather than walking over and saying, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Wasn't it great to serve the Lord on Sunday night? Oh, but we won't say that, will we? We won't say that real loud in Walmart, will we? You know why? Because somebody whispering in your ear is saying, now, if you start saying like that, people are going to think you're nuts. I wonder who it is saying that. It ain't the Holy Spirit saying that. You see, we're all tempted all the time. Do you realize the times that you don't serve the Lord? Do you know, let me tell you why? Because you're listening to the tempter rather than listening to the Holy Spirit of God within you. And here's the thing. I know we have this flesh, but I tell you this. We give that flesh a whole lot more. Listen, we give it a lot of credit that it don't always get, that they shouldn't always get. The bottom line is when the devil says, listen, you don't need to do that. We listen to the devil an awful lot. We do. We listen to him an awful lot. I tell you this, I wish as Christians we listened to the Holy Spirit of God and did what he did as much as we did listening to the devil and did what the devil wants us to do. Because if we did, we'd be out there telling more people about the Lord. If we did, we'd openly talk about Jesus Christ in public areas. This past week, I went out and had a cup of coffee with the son-in-law of Sister Hazel. And we went and had coffee together because he wanted to meet with me and everything, and he wanted to talk because the only time he met me was there at the funeral. And he's saved. And we go downtown, and we go to a place, an eating establishment. After we got done, we had our coffee. We're standing out there in the middle. I'm standing right there by the front door, not too far, not really blocking the front door or anything. And we're sitting there talking. Well, he's kind of a loud guy. And he's like, yeah, boy, I tell you what, I just love it when the Lord does great things for me. I just love it. And I'm looking around, people are like looking like, what in the world, you know? And I mean, he's just talking about the Lord left and right. I'm thinking, amen, you know? But I was thinking to myself, I wonder how many Christians would do that, would actually talk loud like that about the Lord. Or would they say, hey, listen, you know, I really like what the Lord did. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is this, folks. I'm not trying to be hard on anybody here. And believe me, I got this many troubles facing temptation than anybody in this room, if not more. But what I am saying is this, is you need to watch out because the devil wants to ruin your testimony. The devil wants to shut your mouth from saying anything about the Lord publicly. He wants to stop you from having a good testimony. He wants to tempt you to do things. And if you aren't careful, if you aren't real careful, his temptations, if you start giving in to those temptations, then you're going to stop growing as Christians. I mentioned TV earlier. You know, a lot of Christians spend a lot of time watching TV. hours upon hours a day. Even the Christians who say, you know, I don't watch that much, I'll bet you will watch it probably at least an hour and a half a day. How much do you read your Bible? Spend that much time with the Lord, can't you? Hey, I'm not saying you shouldn't watch that TV for an hour and a half, but spend that much time reading the Bible too. Amen? I mean, at least do that. But I wonder why. I wonder why we don't. Well, you just think, well, I would read, but man, there's a good show coming on. Who's whispering in your ear here? Amen? What we need to do is not listen to the devil so much. And when the devil does tempt us, and he's not going to stop, by the way. I mean, if you right there, remember when the Lord said to Peter that the devil wants to sift you, Peter? The devil's wanting to sift everybody in this room. Make no mistake, okay? But when he does tempt you, remember this, God's always given you a way out of that temptation. Yeah. You don't have to do what he's suggesting you do. You can always do what the Lord wants you to do. Even Eve, she had a choice. The devil comes up there, and the first thing he says is, yea, hath God said. By the way, that's a great way the devil always wants to try to start off. He wants to shake your faith in the Word of God that quick. I tell you this, I have zero patience. I shouldn't say patience. Well, I'm just going to say I have zero patience when it comes to anybody shaking somebody else's faith in the Word of God. What that Bible says, it says. And when somebody says, well, now, I understand the Bible says that, but really it should be a better interpretation like that, a hogwash. That's trying to shake somebody's faith in what that Bible says. If that Bible says the word if, was, past tense, present tense, it's there, and that's what it's supposed to be. But the devil come in and say, yea, hath God said? You know, Eve had she had a choice. She could have said, yes, God said it, and shut up, because I'm going to do it his way. Or she could have sat there like she did and sit there and listen to him, and finally give in to what his temptation that he made. Everybody in here has got that same choice. If you choose not to listen to the devil and choose to do what God tells you to do, you know what that's going to do? It's going to help your faith grow, because you're going to see the truth of the Word of God every single time, that what God says is true. If you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You'll see that to be true. You know what's going to happen the next time the devil comes along? It'll be easier for you to resist the devil next time. Amen? Why? Your faith is growing. But if you don't resist him, and every time the devil comes by, he knocks you flat, your faith isn't growing very much. Amen? So Paul, here to these people, not only did he tell, he sent Timothy to help establish them in the faith and help build their faith, but now he's worried and he's concerned that there are certain things that they need to be aware of, that if they're not careful, it'll hurt their faith. And so he reminds him, he says, listen, bad times are going to come, circumstances are going to come. Be unmovable when those times come. And understand that the devil is there to tempt you, and you need to remain steadfast there too, so that your faith will grow. We need to remember that same thing. Everybody in here, our faith should be growing more and more and more every day. And all of us are growing at certain speeds. All of us are certain areas in our spirituality. Some people say, well, I'm more spiritual than this person over there. That's nonsense. You may be in certain areas, but there are other areas that you're weak as all get out in, that you need to grow, and we're all like that. And we all grow supposed to grow in faith and in the knowledge and the grace, or knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace. We're supposed to grow that way. And that's what God wants us to do, so that way we're being more and more conformed to Christ every single day. So tonight, I'm just going to ask you, are you growing? And if you're not growing, what's stopping you from growing? I guarantee it's either circumstances or you giving in to the temptations of the devil. It's going to be one of those two. All right, let's stop there tonight.